work. You just laughed it off, but it's all okay.
All right, hour two of the Blitz. It's starting right now. 1340 AM, 105.7 FM, live in your Fan Run Radio app. And of course, we are live in the Fan Run Radio web browser as well. Let's take a brief break from our opening day talk and let's catch an opening drive. All right, first down. Sam.
Charlie.
Light the beam.
Let's go.
The drought is over.
Let's go.
The Sacramento Kings have clinched their first playoff berth since 2006 by beating the Portland Trail Blazers last night, 120-80. Lighting that beam's got to feel extra special last night. First of all, lighting the beam is still just like my favorite thing that's happening in the NBA this year.
Yeah, no, the Kings are one of my favorite stories in sports.
For those that don't know, the Sacramento Kings, I believe it was their owner, decided that they just wanted something to mark wins, to engage their fan base. And he said, can we get the biggest possible light beam to shoot straight up into the sky? And we just like very, very, very high-powered, expensive lights right from the top of the stadium. And every time the Sacramento Kings win a game, they get to light the beam. You know, they get to press the button and light that beam and shoot it straight up into the sky. And you can see it throughout Sacramento. So, it's, you know, it's become a whole thing this year. It's like Tennessee and their daddy cat caps and their fur coats, or Virginia Tech and their axe, or you know, the Miami and their turnover chain. It's the Sacramento Kings, the best of them all. It's them and their beam that they light. But back in the playoffs, I for one very excited for them. I don't think there's anyone that really has a lot of beef with the Kings. Like, I can't think of teams or fan bases or people that would really have a good reason to not like the Kings. Hilarious, too, that they're just, like, third in the West.
No, they're, like, really good.
Yeah.
They're very good.
I mean, they're 46-30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, who knew that that DeMontis Sabonis trade would work out so well for them? I remember when that trade was made at the time just thinking, like, what are the Kings doing? Like, what do they think they're getting out of this? Like, Sabonis, great player, but why are the Pacers or Kings making this trade?
Yeah.
But De'Aaron Fox is a special player. And, you know, now they just have enough around them. Keegan Murray, as a rookie, has been pretty good, pretty great. You know, Malik Monk's played well. They've got the right pieces in place. Like, they've got Kevin Huerter playing well. It's a really nice, balanced team. And I don't think enough people are taking them seriously enough when it comes to the actual playoffs, now that they've actually clinched. But very pumped for them.
I can see it already, though. This Kings team is going to make it to the playoffs, and they're going to lose in the first round.
Maybe.
But I really want them to go far, but I just...
And it
seems like that type of storyline. You know, they have a great season. They make it to the playoffs for the first time since 2006, and then... They can't light the beam in the playoffs.
There are like five-ish games left in the NBA season right now. If it ended today, they would play the Warriors in the first round.
Yeah, like, come on.
4 through 11 in the West, or 4 through 12 in the West, actually, is separated by you know, less than five games. And 4 through 9 is separated by less than 3 games. So it can really change who their first round matchup is, but it does feel like they're going to somehow end up with like the Kings or like the Lakers or someone like that and yeah, get bounced early. But
someone with some more experience in the playoffs than they do.
They made it.
They're there.
They made it.
They're there.
And we're happy for them. Longest playoff drought now. The New York Jets.
Oh, that was like the longest playoff drought in all of sports.
All of sports by like a good amount.
That's awesome.
But now with the...
I would think it's like a poor hockey team. Like a bad hockey team.
It's the New York Jets. The longest playoff drought out of the NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL. I believe the Sabres are right behind them, though. I think the Buffalo Sabres are like 10 years or 11 years. Pardon me. So it's 12 years for the Jets, 11 years for the Sabres, and then we got some baseball teams. It's been 8 years for the Detroit Tigers, 8 years for the Los Angeles Angels, which if anybody shouldn't be on this list, it's the Angels. What a disgrace of a franchise. The fact that they've had Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and Albert Pujols and Anthony Rendon and Andrelton Simmons and, you know, whatever else, Joe Adele, and like they haven't figured out a way to make the playoffs.
You're proving your point there, though.
Not once.
You didn't name a single pitcher besides Ohtani. But yeah, they haven't had a pitcher. You'd think they could spend some of that money on a pitcher.
They have Shohei.
That's what I said, besides Shohei.
Who are the Angels pitchers this year?
Exactly. I actually don't know.
Reed Detmers. I really like Reed Detmers. He's a good, promising young arm. Tyler Anderson. Gross. Tucker Davidson. I don't know anything about Tucker Davidson.
Tucker Davidson?
Sandoval.
Tucker Davidson's an old Braves prospect, actually.
Oh, well, he's a starting pitcher for the
The
Angels now. Jose Suarez, not a terrible pitcher. I kind of like Patrick Sandoval. He had a sub-3 ERA last year. I do really like Reed Detmers. I think that there's a chance that Reed Detmers emerges as like their ace of the future. But yeah, no, the Angels are terrible. Also have the Broncos. They're the second longest NFL team. It's been 7 years for them. 7 years for the Pirates and 7 years for the Royals.
Poor Royals.
I love that they won that World Series, though. I love the Royals. I don't know why. There's just something about them. Anyway, second down.
Second down. The Ravens reportedly tried to sign Baker Mayfield. Comes out that Baker Mayfield declined the offer. He thought Tampa was the best opportunity for him to start. But this clearly shows that, you know, the Ravens GM, he's been shopping around in that quarterback market. Obviously is not extremely, you know, not 100% confident that Lamar is going to be playing with the Ravens next year. They currently have Anthony Brown is their only quarterback who's under contract right now. Tyler Huntley is also a restricted free agent. So they've got Tyler Huntley as a free agent. They've got Lamar, who is looking like he's kind of refusing to play, doesn't want to play in Baltimore, wants some more money. So this GM went out there, said, "Hey, Baker, you want to play in Baltimore for a year?" I don't think he was down for that. Went down to Tampa Bay, likely going to be their starter down there for a year before they I'm assuming they're going to draft a quarterback after the next year. Who knows? How funny would that have been, though? Baker Mayfield on the Ravens. Lamar Jackson out.
I kind of would love it.
Baltimore would have burned down. You take gross, pretty much bust division rival quarterback Baker Mayfield for kicking Lamar Jackson to the curb.
I just wish that we can finally just get a conclusion to this Lamar saga and this Aaron Rodgers saga both. I'm so tired of hearing about it. Which is kind of funny, I guess, because we've talked about it multiple days. But at the restaurant, in the early afternoon, ESPN is just kind of on the TV on mute. So I never know what they're saying. I can just only see guys talking with their hands passionately with a headline underneath them. But for 2 weeks now, I've just seen the they're not even changing the headline.
No.
It just says Aaron Rodgers wants to be a Jet.
Yeah.
And they've just been talking about it every time I look at this ESPN TV on mute. And are they saying the same things? Or are they coming up with different things? I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't think they're coming up with new things at all.
I don't either. Third down. Sorry, I got distracted. But third down, Kevin Durant made his debut last night. Well, not debut, but return from injury, rather. He struggled. The Suns didn't look great for a while, but then they pulled it all together there in the end. Ended up winning that one 107-100. Devin Booker, the leading scorer for the Suns. Kevin Durant finished 5 of 18 with 16 points. But I'm sure for the Suns, just a welcome sight to see him back and, you know, looking mobile. You know, looking like he's ready to take on a playoff-type load. A lot of big games in the NBA last night. The Heat, my Heat, got beat by the Knicks, pretty much securing now that Heat are probably going to be in the play-in. You know, I don't think we're going to catch the Nets. We're a game and a half back with like 5 to play. Mavericks lost to the 76ers. They continue to struggle with Kyrie Irving and Luka together, and they're not in the playoffs if the season ended today. They're a game out of the play-in. They are the 11th seed in the Western Conference right now, which they're also 3 games back of being the 6th seed, but yeah, they're the 11th seed. They're behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, which, speaking of, Thunder last night, buzzer beater against the Pistons. Jalen Williams tip-in.
I saw this, yeah.
At the end to win it for the Thunder, to keep them in the playoff hunt, to keep them in playoff position. It's been Paolo Banchero all year for the Rookie of the Year talk. Jalen Williams was a guy that I really, really liked. I had him much higher on my board. He's been hooping lately.
Yeah, Jalen Williams
loved him at Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. I watched a ton of Santa Clara basketball last year. Loved him at Santa Clara, and he has been playing some really good basketball. It's too late, I think, to win Rookie of the Year, but he's making a great push. He had 27 for him last night on 11 of 19, 8 rebounds. Dude's a stud. But yeah, the NBA season, man, it's really, really, really heating up with how tight these playoff races are and how few games there are left. Fourth down,
MetLife Stadium has installed some new turf. The home of the Jets and the Giants has been, you know, subject to some injuries in the past couple years. A little bit too many injuries for it to be considered a coincidence, I would say. They have put in a new field turf called Core System, multi-layer, dual polymer monofilament fiber. They didn't switch up to normal grass, obviously, but this is pretty much the closest thing you can get to it. The most research has been done on this field turf core, I guess. There have been a lot of complaints, though, coming out of MetLife Stadium from their injuries. A lot of lower body, a lot of non-contact injuries. During the 2020 season, the Niners had 5 players suffer lower body injuries in the exact same game playing at the Jets. Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas had season-ending knee injuries in that game. Last year, the Ravens had their corner Kyle Fuller tear his ACL in week 1. I feel like this has been kind of a thing, not just at MetLife Stadium, but at a lot of fields around football. Just seems like a lot of players are pretty, you know, they speak out and they're pretty adamant against turf. You know, they want these teams to invest in some grass fields. you know, they say, listen, I know how much money these teams are bringing in and everything, and how profitable of a business the NFL is. You're telling me we can't get a little bit of grass here, help us out. I think it's interesting. I think that it is kind of, it's not really a coincidence anymore, just how many of these players are getting hurt on these different types of turf and everything. It seems like they love grass a whole lot better. You don't really hear of a lot of, you know, season-ending practice injuries for the most part, and for the most part, a lot of these practice facilities have, you know, have some grass fields and stuff like that. So it is kind of an interesting thing to weigh here. If some more teams go towards this kind of new revolutionized turf that is pretty similar to grass, or if, you know, some teams maybe go back to grass and spend some extra money on having a grass field 24/7. It would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm about as anti-turf as it gets.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what all the, you know, what this different research, what these different ideas end up turning up, because I think there is a real problem with playing surfaces. I mean, again, it struck at the highest level of the sport. You know, the Super Bowl, when we couldn't even get a playable field.
Right.
So I hope that there's a solution coming. You know, I hope that the players can help drive that solution. But, yeah, I mean, I sure do hate turf. Good opening drive. Well, we'll dive back into the baseball, make our predictions here on the other side. And biggest baseball series of the year, too, college, from a college baseball perspective, starts tonight as well. I mean, goodness, there's a lot going on. It's, maybe we can borrow like 30 minutes from John Reed. I don't know. We'll see. Catching a break. More on the Blitz next.
Matlock Tire.
See, there's some sort of murder trial going on in Knoxville.
In Knoxville?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't really know what it's about, but I follow just like all our local news stations on Twitter, you know, your WBARs, WATs, all that. And all their main accounts have just been retweeting like 20 plus updates a day from their reporters that are at this murder trial. So like my timeline is just sports, 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 sports.
Murder, murder, murder.
Bullets and and bullet fragments are more difficult to trace than cartridge cases, he says. And it just really throws me off every time.
I find it weird how some people get really, really into like following a murder scene and like a trial. And then some people are like, oh, someone got murdered. And I'm kind of in that second category. Like, I don't really get involved in a lot of those things. Like,
I hope justice is found, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
That sucks. I'm sorry someone lost their life. Damn.
Like these Murdoch trials or whatever.
Yeah, like the people that are just like, did you see the way he was blinking too fast during his testimony? I've studied body language on YouTube for 7 hours, and I think that he's lying. I think it was actually his daughter. Like, let's ruin their life.
Yeah, when these Murdoch trials were happening, my mom was like, yeah, I've been listening to this podcast about this trial for 2.5 years. And I'm like, it's been going on for 2.5 years?
Wait, really?
I'm like, I kind of assumed maybe they got killed like 6 months ago or something
like
that.
I like a good like true crime like documentary sometimes. Like,
I can go for a documentary, but like that podcast is a different
Like commitment. That Murdaugh family thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
There's a three-part docuseries on HBO, yeah. Low Country.
I've seen that.
I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I don't know. Like, the people that get like way too into crime that's completely unrelated to them, it is a little weird. I guess it's just like the natural, like morbid curiosity of human nature sometimes. But like,
maybe
the amount I deleted TikTok now. But like when the whole Idaho murder investigation was going on, the amount of like
self-made
Sherlock Holmes and Junie B. Jones on. I don't even think that Junie B. Jones was just a girl. I don't think she was a detective, but whatever. I mean, the amount of like people on TikTok, they were just thought they like cracked this case and were just blaming random people and like turning everyone else against these random people just drove me insane. Anyway, sorry, that just popped up in my timeline, kind of distracted me for a little bit. Tennessee and LSU probably play what is the biggest series of the college baseball season to date. I think it was the most highly anticipated series of the season coming into the year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait, man. I really cannot wait for this one tonight. We were talking about it some yesterday. Like, Tennessee finally gets to be an underdog, and they have not been an underdog since a season opener against Texas in the Round Rock Classic or whatever it was, like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. You know, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since Tennessee's got to be an underdog, and they're going to hear it tonight. You know, I think that was kind of part of it. Tennessee fans in Tennessee quickly wanted to become the villain, and I was cool with being the villain. I like being the villain, sure, when we were really, you know, dominant the last couple of years. But, you know, that's the way SEC baseball goes. There's a cycle where there's like 1 to 2 really dominant teams and 3 to 4 to 5 really, really, really good ones. And right now, you know, for what it's worth, LSU has been that dominant team this year, and Tennessee has been, you know, just that really, really good team. And Tennessee, you know, sure did give it out. This fan base sure did give it out. And again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying I have a problem with it, but, you know, we booed Paul Maneri in his final game at Lindsey Nelson Stadium in the final game of his career. Like, when they went to honor him, like, we booed him. You know, we had him crying in the dugout 2 years ago. We tried to, like, ruin Trey Morgan's life at first base for a minute there. Like, we really have let LSU have it, and we've whooped their ass too, and they've deserved it as far as I'm concerned. But if you don't think that's going to be a hostile environment, if you don't think that's going to be an electric environment, especially too after Tennessee football fans took over their stadium and pounded them into the dirt in the fall, LSU fans are ready for this, and they have been ready for this. And you are walking into, quite frankly, I think, the most hostile environment any of these players have ever played in, and probably the most hostile environment Tony Vitello's ever coached in. These guys want blood. They want to beat you senseless and let you know about it. And I'm hoping that an environment like that, something clicks for Tennessee. You know, something awakens inside of them. They start to develop more of an edge. Like, that competitor inside of them comes alive and they step up to the challenge. I'm expecting them to. And I think they will handle all of it very well. But you're going to take some punches this weekend. There's no doubt about it. You know, you are going to take some punches, and you are going to have to punch back. Because Paul Skeens, that kid's unbelievable. You know, Dylan Cruz is doing things right now at the college baseball level, in the SEC, that should not be possible. You know, they're battling it out for who's going to be the first pick and who's going to be the second pick at this point. And Chase Dolander's fallen a step behind, you know, to 3, 4, or 5. So LSU is going to hit. You know, Tommy White, Tommy Tanks, like, he's going to hit too. And these fans are going to be on you. And, you know, I think Tennessee has the talent to step up to the challenge. And tonight, what better opportunity than right now for Chase Dolander to, you know, step back into things and raise his stock. You know, what better opportunity to say, hey, wait, I'm still the guy. You know, I'm still that top pitching prospect, than tonight when you're matched up against Paul Skeens and you're pitching to Dylan Cruz. Cannot wait for tonight.
Yeah, I think I liked what you said there about just how hostile the environment is. I think that could definitely, honestly, probably trigger something for this UT team. Like you were saying yesterday, with us kind of embracing that villain role, a lot of our crowd last year was a real rowdy environment, and you kind of had to play up in competition almost. And, you know, like, you knew that our fans were going to be coming at you, and so you kind of had to play up to that standard where our fans were kind of talking some trash and kind of letting you know that we're better than you, and so we needed to show that on the field. And, you know, I think you're going to see that tonight, and you're going to see that this weekend. And hopefully that kind of triggers something in our team where, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we're back in a familiar environment. We've seen this before, and we've seen a hostile environment. We know what it takes to win when you've got people coming at you, and you've got a team of a very talented team at LSU, obviously, that knows how good they are. I hope that this kind of triggers something from that last year's run, and some guys that have been there last year that are here again this year, they can kind of stress that to those new guys and everything that are coming in, like, hey, we're in the heart of the SEC play now, and like, people aren't going to be nice to you, and you got to go out there and make a statement.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee flew hot onto the scene, right? I mean, with Tony Vitello, he rebuilt this program quickly, and Tennessee went from nothing for 20-plus years to one of the best teams in college baseball. And I think that Tony Vitello has established his program as a team with staying power. You know, I think that Tennessee rushed onto the scene, and now here they are, and they're going to be right up there with your Vanderbilts and your Arkansas's and your LSU's and, you know, maybe your Florida's too, where you know, it cycles. Some year you might have a team that's 11 to 15. Some years you might have a team that's the best in the country. But, you know, I think those teams all kind of respect each other to a certain extent. You know, they all kind of behave a certain way. And then Tennessee came onto the scene and changed that up. You know, Tennessee was disrespectful in the way they played baseball. And it was great. You know, you were riding high when you were the top team. But, you know, out of those programs, again, your Arkansas, your LSU's, your Tennessee's, your Vanderbilt's, you know, there's ebb and there's flow. And, like, there's going to be years that those teams might be a little bit better than you. You know, you're always going to be, like, all of those teams are always going to be, like, top 15, top 20 teams at worst. But, you know, when Tennessee took the world by storm, the college baseball world by storm, I think a lot of these adversaries were sitting there, you know, just, hey, waiting for their chance to get Tennessee back. And now here you are again. You know, your upcoming series, it's Arkansas, Florida, it's LSU this weekend. You got Vanderbilt, you know, bang, 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 bang. And all four of those programs are hot, waiting for their chance. They're chomping at the bit to get back at you. So, you know, I think we're going to learn quickly what the mentality of this team is, what kind of edge this team has. But, you know, that's what you're looking at. You have teams that want to just get you back so bad. And if you're Tony Vitello and if you're this Tennessee baseball team, you can't let them. You gotta just, you know, keep your foot right there on their throat. I'm going to head over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines, 865-546-8200. That's the number to call in. But right now we got Matthew on the line on this opening day Thursday. Matthew, how you doing?
How we doing, Charlie? How we doing, Sam? Happy opening day Wednesday. Don't really have a baseball team, but happy opening day.
There we go.
You don't have a baseball team?
I mean, not really. Like, just never really could get into it. I mean, I say I'm a Rockies fan, but I probably couldn't name you more than three players, and that was because Todd Helton was on the team at the time and since then has retired. So I don't really have a – I do love their jerseys, don't get me wrong. Like, the Rockies jerseys, you will not find another organization who makes purple and black look great.
I like the Rockies. I think they're always kind of a fun team. You could also just, if you wanted to, in the style of the Blitz, just put every MLB team on a wheel and spin it.
Mm.
Or even just like 10 teams that you kind of have more of a liking towards than the others and spin it if you really want to find yourself a team. Or you could just, again, just roll with the Rockies.
If you could do this for me, Charlie, and we could take it to a group text, if you could help me find out which MLB teams have had the most past, current Vols on their teams, we'll just do that, and I'll find the one with the most, and I'll just go with that.
All right, I can try to figure that out later.
Yeah, and also, Sam, just so you're aware, I mean, Charlie has the message. You are the brains of this operation. You are the oil that makes this machine go. I told Charlie yesterday that, like, you don't get enough airtime. You're literally the voice of the people.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Matthew.
but seriously, guys, you know, not to derail this, but I do want to have a 2-minute synopsis on the basketballs. You know, I wanted to get y'all's opinion on this, and I talked about this with Charlie a little bit. We know that we suck in the portal. Like, I hate saying the word suck, but we know we have really not addressed a lot of good players, or at least gotten some players that could bridge that gap between a first exit and a second wing exit. My question is this. We as Tennessee fans maybe look at the job at Tennessee maybe a little bit more lucrative than maybe some other portal guys look at it, and I think about the development side. Do you think that the coaches at other schools will recruit against you, basically saying, if you go to Tennessee, that's a school that you're not going to get developed? And because I don't think that's a fair assessment, because it's weird, because Tennessee has proven, Rick Barnes himself, to be able to recruit guys and actually develop them into better players. You know, say what you want about guys like Olivier and, you know, Grant and, you know, Admiral. Those were guys that were very low recruited, and they got developed pretty well. But it is interesting that, you know, some four guys and five guys that were really talented just never got their full clips, their full potential hit. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that we've had a lot of staff overturned, but it just feels like sometimes that our lack in the portal has just not been there. And, you know, I'll give you back some time, Charlie, because I do think that you guys have some more stuff to talk about the baseball team, but I just wanted to kind of let y'all know that I just wish that for once we could address some portal needs with some really aggressive guard play, because right now what we're hearing is just not really, they're not sexy. I don't know, guys, but as always, hey, love y'all. Hope you have a good day, and go Vols.
Hey, go Vols. Always good to hear from you, Matthew. I still think it could be, like, too early to consider Tennessee, quote-unquote, like, bad in the portal, especially because we really didn't get our NIL ducks in a row accordingly, you know, at the start of NIL. We quickly caught up, and, like, now Tennessee, one of the leaders in NIL. But, you know, I still don't know if I would consider Tennessee bad. We'll see what Tennessee does with the portal this year, and that could obviously change things. But, you know, I think, like, last year you just had some tough luck. You finished second with some guys. Like, Brandon Murray chose you, you know, chose Georgetown over you to follow, an assistant coach and get back to, like, his hometown or something like that. You know, Tyrese Hunter, you were right in there with him, but he got the opportunity to play for Texas, and, like, that's a program that's really meaningful to him. You actually had Yuri Collins, but one of our lovely little message board insiders that, you know, think that they're the best things in sliced bread, decided to go run their mouth and say some things they shouldn't, and Yuri Collins was not then permitted to come to Tennessee. So, like, I mean, what's our perception of Tennessee if Yuri Collins was a Tennessee Vol last year, averages 8 assists a game, is one of the best point guards, you know, in the SEC, or, you know, averages like 4 or 5 assists a game, one of the best point guards in the SEC, and you have a running mate for Zakai. Zakai can continue to stay in that off-the-bench role. And this offense is a top 35 offense, and you know, you make a better run. Like, then the narrative is Rick Barnes is great at hitting in the portal. So I just think it's still, you know, a little too early to tell. We'll see, again, how it plays out. Also, I would love to just kind of compare, you know, Tennessee's hits versus misses in the portal, you know, versus other teams. I think that the portal also is just really kind of a crapshoot. Like, you can find talent, right? And you can identify talent, but how that then, you know, fits into your team, fits into the culture of your team, because it's not like you're getting a freshman that you can mold. Like, you're getting a product that is half finished. Like, you're getting a guy that, you know, is not going to spend a lot of time in the program, that you're going to have to kind of inject into things and hope it sticks. And I think that sometimes an underrated factor of the portal, like, there's just guys that for whatever reason have the talent but don't really stick in certain locations. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not as concerned about the portal maybe as some other people. Like, it's could quickly become a concern still, sure. But I'm still just kind of waiting to see how it plays out. And I still think that, you know, the Tennessee can do some really nice things in the portal.
Yeah, we've missed on a couple guys. Yeah, but you can't get everyone out of the portal, I guess. I think it is important to still keep that as a priority, though. You know, obviously you never want to stop looking for ways to improve, you know, the quality of your roster. I know I did see something yesterday. Washington's freshman guard Keon Minifield. Do you know him? Did you see him a little bit this season, Charlie?
Here and there.
He entered the portal, and I have seen that he's heard from Tennessee there. 6'1" point guard. Shifty little point guard, good score, would be a nice little addition. So I think Tennessee's still out there looking for some guys, but yeah, obviously we missed on a couple guys this past year, but I wouldn't say necessarily that is, you know, maybe not priority number one, but you know, we can get a couple. I'm not totally out on what we can grab out of the portal. I think we can still get some solid depth pieces and stuff like that.
Yeah, and again, I think there's a lot to play out. Still a lot left to happen. We'll judge accordingly in another month or two. But you know, now that I think that NIL is in a better place for this portal, you know, season, I guess, and the Rick Barnes, and I think Tennessee have just kind of, you know, handed things over to Spire a little bit more. And just said, hey, you go do your thing. I feel a little bit better about it. But we'll catch a break, and we'll wrap up our MLB predictions on the other side. All right, let's hit these. Let's run through these quick here on opening day. We can still, you know, dive into more MLB preview tomorrow, even with opening day today. But we got to get our predictions in order.
We do.
So we'll just run through it. Who is your AL East champion?
AL East champion. I'm sorry. I'm going to take the... Let's get crazy. Let's go to Toronto Blue Jays.
I thought you were going to get crazy.
Thought I was going to get crazy?
Well, I don't know. You said let's get crazy.
I'm just thinking, like, let's get crazy as in we're doing, like, all of – I'm assuming you're doing every division?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'm also taking the Toronto Blue Jays. I just think that if they can stay healthy, like, this is their year to win the AL East. Their starting rotation is deeper than the Yankees, especially with the Yankees' injuries. I think they're a little bit better defensively. And – you know, I think Vlad and Bo Bichette both, like, they're ready to step up and fully embrace stardom this year. I've been impressed by their pitching. I've been impressed by this lineup. I'm pumped to see the Blue Jays this year. I think this is the year they break through. AL Central.
Chris isn't happy with us.
He's not.
The Yankees are going to lose, too. Early on, Chris. Just
yeah,
so
well,
you know.
The AL Central, Sam?
The AL Central. I'm gonna go with the Cleveland Guardians. Good pitching staff. Saw a couple young solid prospects out of there. I'm gonna go with the Guardians.
I also think it's the Guardians. I think that again, like, the White Sox are the team that has the most talent and maybe this will be the year that they figure it out, but I doubt it.
I don't think they got the talent this year.
But Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, I mean, that's a great 1-2 punch once they're healthy. Emmanuel Clase is an elite closer. The lineup is maybe the best contact lineup in the league. They'll benefit from the shift ban, I think, a lot. And I don't know. I think people just kind of look past this Guardians team.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that
they just play fundamental baseball.
They're really well coached. They're a great run, you know, well-run organization. They have been at least lately. And, yeah, I think this is a team ready to win the AL Central again. AL West.
Astros. Yeah.
Astros, it's inevitable. We don't even need to spend any more time. No. NL East.
NL East, definitely going to the Braves. I think Phillies would have been a good pick, but, you know, some of these injuries that they've suffered are tough. Mets as well. They're struggling with a couple injuries. Diaz was a tough one to lose, and they're just the Mets. So I'm going to go Braves.
Yeah, I mean, again, I got the Braves. You know, they have one of the best rotations in baseball. If Kyle Wright can stay healthy, or if, you know, again, Jared Schuster, Dylan Dodd can pitch what, you know, close to what they were in the Grapefruit League, like, that's going to be a really good team. Bullpen's deep, lineup's deep, defense is good, and, you know, now you added Sean Murphy into the fold, too. The NL Central.
I like the Brewers out of here. Another division that's just not great. Couple sleeper teams. I think it'll be tough between the Brewers and the Cardinals here. I think the Cubs have a sneaky solid year, though.
Yeah?
I think the Cubs had some pretty decent offseason additions. I think they could surprise people. I think they finished third, but I think they have an all right year.
See, I think people are severely sleeping on the Milwaukee Brewers. Between Corbin Burns and like Brandon Woodruff at the top of the rotation, that's nasty. Mm-hmm. Freddie Peralta was really good last year, too. You know, Devin Williams, one of the better relievers out there. I like Contreras at catcher. I like some of their pieces in the infield. And I think Christian Yelich is going to find a way to return back to form. Yeah. I'm taking the Brewers here. They're one of my – I think they're the most underrated team in baseball. NL West.
NL West, I kind of like the Dodgers to regress a little bit this year. I think this is the year that the Padres can put it together, and you know maybe they can beat the Dodgers like once this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the year that the Padres finally prove that like you can buy your way to success in the MLB.
Yeah,
if you just keep spending more money, eventually it will work. Your three wild cards in the AL.
Three wild cards in the AL. I like the Yankees. I think the Yankees will definitely, you know, they'll make it there to the playoffs. I think you can take. I might take the White Sox. The White Sox have a team, you know, on paper that is very good, that should be able to make it to a playoff game there. I think the White Sox can do it. I'm going to go back to the Rays. Rays are another team that Rays kind of give me a little bit of a Guardians vibe a little bit. They just, you know, they've got good pitching all the time and just a very fundamental team. Kind of, I think they can put some good games together this year.
So you got what you said, Yankees, Rays, White Sox?
Yeah.
I also think two teams from the AL East make it, but I don't think either of them are the New York Yankees.
Okay.
That is, like, that's my I have two bold predictions for the year, and one of them is that the New York Yankees will not make the playoffs. I think with the injuries that are already starting to stack up in their starting rotation, I don't think their bullpen's deep enough. I don't think their lineup is deep enough. Yeah, I think there's flash, but there's not depth. You know, I think the top of the tower looks great, but there's just not a strong enough foundation. You saw this team collapse down the stretch last year. I don't think they build up that hot start to carry them through the collapse this year. My three wildcard teams from the AL, the Rays, the Mariners get back in it, and I think we get a surprise here. I think the Baltimore Orioles surpass the Yankees.
Yeah.
That young talent is finally arriving. We'll see if they actually just allow them to win. That's the biggest question. It's like, will the Orioles let their team win?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's so many teams in the AL you can make a case for.
For sure.
NL wild cards? Oh, this is really tough for me.
Yeah, the NL wild cards are nearly brutal. Impossible. It's almost like you need more wild card spots in the NL. I'm going to take the Phillies. I'm going to take the Mets to miss the postseason this year because I just love doing
me
it.
Too.
I'm going to take the Phillies as a wild card spot. I'm going to take the Cardinals out of the Central, and I'm going to take the Dodgers. And as like a sneaky fun pick, I'll take the Cubs too. It's like, you know, obviously there's not four, but maybe the Cubs can sneak in there for one of those spots.
I got the Dodgers, I got the Phillies, and I agree. I don't think the Mets make the playoffs. And I said it earlier, I just got to keep picking them every year. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm taking the Marlins to make the playoffs as the final wild card. I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to be
you
wrong.
You think the Marlins have a better season than the Cardinals?
Yeah, I do.
That'll be a fun thing to come back on in October.
Your NL and AL MVP?
Yeah, I'm going to be real biased here, but I think coming off an injury, Ronald Acuna has a massive year for the Braves. I think he can have an NL MVP type year. And American League, it's a boring pick, but it's probably going to be impossible for him not to win it. I'm going to go Shohei.
I don't know. I think there's just a chance that, like, he's also just not in the American League by the end of the year, too.
Yeah, you think he gets traded before the end of the year?
I could definitely see it. Okay. My NL MVP, I said it earlier, I think it's going to be Matt Olson. I really am buying heavily into Matt Olson this year. And my AL MVP, I think this is finally the year he wins it. I think he deserved to win it and got robbed 2 years ago. But, you know, if I think the Blue Jays are going to have a really good year, then this guy's going to have a really good year too. Vlad Guerrero Jr., I think, is going to be the AL MVP. And then bringing it home here, AL and NL Cy Young.
Okay. AL Cy Young. Man, I really like McClanahan out of the Rays. He's put together some really good...
How are we both
good...
about to pick Shane McClanahan?
He's put together some great seasons for the Rays. Just very quiet down there in Tampa Bay. And then as for the NL, I love me some Sandy Alcantara out of the Marlins.
I also have Sandy going back-to-back, and I also have Shane McClanahan.
All right.
That is unbelievable that of all the pitchers in the world, we somehow both have the same Cy Young on both sides. Should just be something we bet on. Both having that hankering. Finally, who wins the World Series and who loses the World Series?
Okay. World Series winner. We'll get weird. Yeah, let's get weird. I think you're right, Charlie. I think you can buy your way into a World Series. I think the Padres win the World Series. And who loses in the World Series, I think that is probably the Astros again.
Yeah, it seems kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
Always inevitable. I actually hadn't picked a World Series winner until, I guess, right this very moment.
I don't like doing World Series winners.
I've been putting it off. Actually, I had the Phillies in the World Series last year.
Did you?
I had Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I remember
Blue
Jays Phillies.
Yeah, you did.
I'm going back to Blue Jays. You know what? I guess I'm just going to ride with them to the end. I think the Blue Jays win the World Series, and I think they beat the Braves.
All right. I didn't put my team in the World Series because I think that's some bad juju.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think the Nationals win it all. 120 wins. Man. All right, good show today.
Best bet, Braves minus like 3.5.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Okay. My best bet, Nats money line. Patrick Corbin, man, he's just due. That's what it is. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We ran out of time. There's still, I think, a lot more to get into with the MLB, so we'll just carry it on into tomorrow. We will. We'll talk more MLB tomorrow. Hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. Give me some Rocky Top on the way out. It's one of those days.
Okay.
Biggest series of the year. Come on. Beat the Tigers. Let's go. For Sam Beard, for Charlie Collier, we'll see y'all tomorrow. John Reed, Talk Sports, they're up next.